RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman Abbas, the headlines. President Joko Widodo visit COSTRA Division 1 headquarters. Indonesia and World Bank discuss human capacity development. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo visited the Army Strategy Research Command COSTRA Division 1 headquarters in Celodon Depot West, Java on Wednesday to ensure its readiness independent the sovereignty of Republic of Indonesia. He remarked after giving directives to 3,500 personnel COSTRA Division 1 at Celodon headquarters that he came to make sure of its readiness. President Joko Widodo inspected the main weaponry system alutsista owned by the COSTRA. He also remarked that the soldiers should protect the country from inside and outside interference, even in safe conditions. He added that he had toured several headquarters of the Armed Forces TNI and the National Police Polri to ensure the community on the readiness of soldiers in the face of any possible threats. President Joko Widodo wants Indonesia to be the world's main fruit exporter country. He hopes that through the So Fruit Indonesia 2016, it becomes the best set to make Indonesia as the main fruit exporter country and the world's largest one, so Indonesian fruit farmers can enjoy better welfare. The appeal was expressed by President Joko Widodo during his speech at the opening of Fruit Indonesia 2016 in his parking of Senayan, Jakarta on Tuesday. He also said it is quite possible for Indonesia to be a place to grow a variety of fruits in a large quantity and good quality to meet the need for exporting fruit to foreign countries. In fact, every region in Indonesia has already excellent fruit products and they are already grown in a wider area. In addition to exporting, he said a fruit farm also opens up opportunity to grow the agro industry. Vice President Yusuf Kalla and World Bank Vice President Victoria Kwakwa met in Jakarta on Wednesday to discuss the capacity building of human development in Indonesia relating to the achievement of sustainable development goals in 2030. Kwakwa remarked that he has seen that much progress, including the development that impacts all people, has been achieved by Indonesia. The World Bank Vice President in charge of Asia Pacific region also feels that Indonesia has been able to overcome development challenges such as reducing maternal infant mortality, improving nutrition for infants and toddlers, as well as allocating 20% of education budget more efficiently and effectively. Kwakwa added that the World Bank will also support all the steps taken by the Indonesian government to improve the human resource capacity through a variety of programs, including in the tourism sector. Indonesian Transportation Ministry has set up a team to bring in investment for infrastructure projects. The team led by the Transportation Minister and the Minister's Secretary General is tasked with identifying potential projects to offer to investors. The amount of funds needed, possible investment schemes, and with funding solution to other issues. Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said in Jakarta on Wednesday that he hopes his ministry can offer profitable business to the private sector. The team's establishment is backed by Transportation Minister Degree No. 2016, which state that there is an urgency to look for alternative funding sources and to increase investment for the set of infrastructure development. Jakarta city-owned bus operator PT TransJakarta stated that it has served at least 99.6 million passengers from January to October 2016, a 16% increase compared to the same period last year. Jakarta President Director Budi Kaliwono said in a written statement on Wednesday that the achievement reflects Jakarta's commitment to serving passengers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week and 365 days a year. According to Budi, the achievement has also indicated that TransJakarta has gained public trust as a safe and comfortable mode of transport in the capital city. TransJakarta currently has 1,347 buses to serve passengers. PT TransJakarta has recently added 116 more buses to achieve Jakarta's goal to improve its transport sector. PT TransJakarta will also continue to add more buses every year. Non-acting Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama had earlier instructed the operation of TransJakarta standard buses in all routes of public transportation. PT Pertamina, through its subsidiary PT Pertamina EP International, has added 9 new assets abroad by the end of September 2016. Compared to 2015, there were only 3 countries, Algeria, Malaysia, and Iraq. Vice President Corporate Communication of Pertamina, Vianda Pusponegoro, explained on Thursday that the new assets owned by Pertamina are recorded 2 in Europe, namely France and Italy, 2 in the United States, Canada and Colombia, and 1 in Asia in Myanmar, while the new Pertamina's assets in Africa are in Namibia, Tanzania, Nigeria and Gabon. The additional new assets, which have already produced assets in Gabon and Nigeria, are reaching approximately 30 barrels of oil equivalent per day. The remainings are still in the stage of exploration and development. The last item, the rupiah traded among several banks in Jakarta on Tuesday morning has moved lower by 28 points to 13,368 rupiah compared to the earlier in the position of 13,340 rupiah per US dollar. Economist of Samuel Sekuritas Ranga Chita said in Jakarta on Tuesday rupiah moved lower in line with the strengthening of the US dollar in the Asian regional market. It is said, though the rupiah weakens, it's relative to be limited. The general demand for US dollars in the country decreased dramatically since from the stock and bond markets in the country, which began to stabilize and to strengthen. He added that the focus of the market participant on Tuesday is directed to the outcome of the Board of Governors of Bank Indonesia, which has been started since Wednesday. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener commentary today entitled International Tolerance Day. Yesterday, November 16th, the world community commemorated the International Tolerance Day. In the United Nations resolution, the date was commemorated as the day to strengthen dialogue, social cohesion, and mutual understanding. The declaration of the International Tolerance Day itself has been conducted since 1995. Up to date, tolerance is still facing many challenges and obstacles. It shows that recognition of the diversity of human beings with their different backgrounds is not actually embedded as a collected consciousness. Things that seem trivial can quickly ignite misunderstandings until the forced disappearance of a person's or group's rights. Given the fact that the diversity of humanity, tolerance should be implemented as a necessity to create a peaceful world. Instead, intolerance affects disharmony that can trigger to conflict. History records that intolerance generally starts from the absence of good deeds shown by the leaders. Their thoughts and attitudes might cause a wider gap, that's creating dichotomy between the rich and the poor, the color and the white, we and you and others. In addition, there are also groups that define tolerance unilaterally. In fact, tolerance is two sides. There is a word to each other in there, mutually respect and appreciate. It is impossible if only one side requests the fulfillment of tolerance without thinking of tolerance to other side. This means that there must be equal balance between
the fulfillment of rights and obligations. In this regard, the rights of any individual or group are limited by having to respect the rights of other individuals or groups. For Indonesia, tolerance is one of the noble values of the nation, passed down from one generation to another generation. Take, for example, Indonesian nation is destined to be comprised of hundreds of tribes with diverse cultures, languages, and religions. Until today, it can coexist in such diversity. However, the harmony is sometimes also tested with emerging issues such as ethnicity, religions, tribes, and sectarian or racial intolerance. But as long as Indonesian people are adhered to the basic state ideology Pancasila, with the motto Unity in Diversity, all handicaps can be passed through. The momentum of International Tolerance Day is a great pride for Indonesian nation to spread the spirit of unity in diversity to all nations of the world. Hopefully, tolerance can foster closer friendship and brotherhood among nations to achieve common prosperity. Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. We meet you again in our daily program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. While we begin our program with an event that happened on November 17, 1983, Zapatista National Liberation Military was established in Mexico. Zapatista National Liberation Military was established on November 17, 1983. It was armed revolutionary force with its headquarters in Chiapas, one of the poorest provinces in Mexico. Mostly the members of this military were traditional people, but they also had members from urban people. Their spokesman, Subcomandante Marcos, said that all commanders were from Maya tribe Indian American. Zapatista was derived from an agrarian figure and Mexican revolutionary fighter, Emiliano Zapata. Since Zapatista National Liberation Military was terminated in 1994 by Mexican military, it no longer involved in military attack and they had tried to gain support from nationally and internationally. The next event is on November 17, 2003, actor Arnold Schwarzenegger was installed as the governor of California. Arnold Schwarzenegger was an actor, a bodybuilder, a Republican, and a businessman. He was installed as the 38th governor of California from 2003-2011. He won the election on October 7, 2003 to replace Gray Davis. Initially, he was an Austrian citizen, then he moved to the United States of America in 1968. Since 1983, he had double nationality, which is American and Austrian. The last event is on November 17, 2013. Tatarstan Airline Flight 363 crashed and 50 people died. Tatarstan Airline is supervised by Akbars Aero. The Tatarstan Airline Flight 363 was scheduled to fly from Moscow to Kazakhstan, Russia. On November 17, 2013, Tatarstan Airline Boeing 737-500 crashed in Kazan International Airport when landing. At least 44 passengers and 6 crews died. Consequently, the airport was closed for 24 hours and reopened on November 18. The circuit camera recorded how the plane crashed, bumped down, and exploded. Among the casualties, there was son of President of Tatarstan, Iret Minikarnavot, along with Chief of Tatarstan Regional Federal Service Security, Alexander Antonov. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listener. It's nice to see you again in our regular program, Focus over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The theme of today's focus is 200 economies to discuss ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. Stay tuned. The Federation of ASEAN Economies Association, FAEA, will hold 41st International Conference. The conference will be held in Yogyakarta on 23rd to 25th November. FAEA Steering Committee Post Huthabarat in his press conference taking place in Yogyakarta on Wednesday said that the conference will restate four pillars of ASEAN Economic Community: implementation, prospect, and challenges. He said that around 200 economies in ASEAN member countries will come to discuss economic issues related to their respective countries, including the tourism sector. One focus of the proposal is that integrated visa-free system for ASEAN member countries and integrated visa for ASEAN region. Post Huthabarat views that some countries in Europe have implemented the stringent visa for a visit of 22 member states of European Union and 3 non-members. Therefore, ASEAN visa is not something impossible. If ASEAN visa can be applied, the tourists from outside ASEAN countries no longer need a visa to each country's destination. Therefore, by taking care of the visa, tourists can visit several countries. With integrated visa system, it will be easier for visitors or tourists to visit any countries such as Singapore, Malaysia, and Indonesia, and others. Thus, they no longer need a visa in each country. Huthabarat added that ASEAN leaders agreed to create ASEAN Economic Community AEC in 2015 with four pillars, namely single market and production base, highly competitive economic region, similar economic development, and a region fully integrated with the global economy. The problem is the task of not only the head of state but also other stakeholders, including academicians, professional organizations, and business people. Meanwhile, Chairman of Indonesian Economists Association, ISEI Yogyakarta, Lincoln Arsad, as one of the conference participants, will visit some tourism destinations in Yogyakarta and Central Java, such as Borobudur and Prambanan temples that had been defined as a World Cultural Heritage by UNESCO. Lincoln Arsad views that this forum has also obtained 28 scientific papers written by professors, researchers, and students from Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, Laos, Vietnam, Singapore, and Thailand. The papers were selected from a call for paper carried out by ISEI Central Committee. The topics of the research results are varied and related to ASEAN economic conditions. Lincoln added that Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmina Sutin is scheduled to be present to open the conference. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani and Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukito will also participate in the seminar, including the ASEAN Secretariat Ahmad Safarullah, ADB Senior Economist Edimon Gintint, World Bank Senior Economist Hans Anand Pik, and Mulyaman Haddad, Chairman ISEI, as well as Country Representative of Foreign Affairs. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo visited the Army Strategy Research Command Kostra Division 1 headquarters in Cilodong, Depok, West Java on Wednesday to ensure his readiness independent the sovereignty of Republic of Indonesia. President Joko Widodo wants Indonesia to be the world's main fruit exporter country. He hopes that through the Show Fruit Indonesia 2016, it becomes the first step to make Indonesia as the main fruit exporter country and the world's largest one. Vice President Yusuf Kalla and World Bank Vice President Victoria Kuakua met in Jakarta on Wednesday to discuss the capacity building of human development in Indonesia related to the achievement of Sustainable Development Goals in 2030. Indonesian Transportation Minister has set up a team to bring in investment for infrastructure projects. The team led by the Transportation Minister and the Minister's Secretary General is tasked with identifying potential projects to offer to investors. The amount of funds needed, feasible investment schemes, and with funding solutions to other issues. Jakarta City-owned bus operator PT Transjakarta stated that it has served at least 99.6 million passengers from January to October 2016, a 16% increase compared to the same period last year. PT Pertamina, through its subsidiary PT Pertamina EP International, has added 9 new assets abroad by the end of September 2016. The rupiah traded among several banks in Jakarta on Tuesday morning has moved lower by 28 points to
13,368 rupiah compared to the early in the position of 13,340 rupiah per US dollar. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Mantu Kuching tradition, or a tradition of Banyuwangi communities, Java province. Stay tuned. Listener, for farmers, water is everything. Lack of water will make them crop failure. Therefore, the presence of rain as one of the natural water sources for them is very important. If the rains do not fall long time, they will attempt to find other water sources or inviting the rain. Several communities in Indonesia has a unique ritual or tradition to invite the rain, such as Mantu Kuching tradition. This tradition is held in Curah Jati Hamlet, Krajakan Village, Purwoharjo Sub-District, Banyuwangi. This ritual ceremony is performed by making a wedding ceremony for Mantu Kuching like a human marriage ceremony. Listener, these traditions began around 1930s, at the time Curah Jati Hamlet hit by persistent drought. The residents have conducted Salat Istiqsa, worships, and Tiban ritual, but the rain still not go down. Finally, Mbah Wono Samudro, as leader of the village at that time, was attended by Mbah Umbul Sari, who trusted by people as spirits guarding the springs in the village. During the meeting, Mbah Umbul Sari advised the villagers to perform Mantu Kuching rituals. Then the ritual is carried out annually. There is an assumption that cat has a close relationship with the rain, so that by bathing, the cat caused the rain falling. Listener, the implementation of the Mantu Kuching ritual is done on Friday in November. The ritual begins at 9 a.m., beginning with village elders who gathered in the house. Two cats that will marry will be decorated like a couple of wedding. The decorations installed in the cages. After that, the two cats are paraded to the sacred Umbul Spring. The procession is accompanied by the local art group. Ritual prayers begun by burning incense. Then the village elders break coconuts with a river stone. After that, the two cats immediately plunk into the water source of Umbul River. After that, people began fighting to get the water, which is believed to bring fortune. The event closed with a feast and eat together held around the spring. The two mated cats are given a unique name, Slamet for a black male cat and Rahayu for a brown cat. If the two names are combined to be Slamet Rahayu, it is a prayer for the local communities to get salvation. There is no special cat species which is used in the rituals. The cats must come from the north and south of the village. For the people of Curah Jati Grajakan, the Mantu Kucing ritual is a hereditary tradition since many years ago and held annually. In addition to ask the rain, the Mantu Kucing tradition also asking for the safety of farmers. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Mantu Kucing tradition. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, it's a great pleasure to meet you in our segment of Miscellany. Today's edition of Miscellany, we will discuss about Tour de Siak 2016. Stay tuned. Listener, Siak is one of the districts in Riau Province, with the capital city Siak Sri Indrapura. Siak Regency is the leading tourism destination in Riau Province, with positive growth of tourist visit each year, along with the improvement of infrastructure, which is done gradually and continuously. In addition, the district also has the tourism potential wealth, especially historical tourism, as formerly once in the district has been built the Siak Kingdom. Besides the potential for historical tourism, Siak also has the potential of cultural tourism, nature, artificial, and education, which gives spirit to the government and the local community to make concrete effort to promote tourism in Siak. One of real effort to promote tourism in the region is the Tour de Siak, which take place in the district. Listener, the Tour de Siak takes place from October 17 to October 22. This event invites the cyclists pass through four stages while enjoying the natural beauty of Siak Regency. In addition, the Tour de Siak is held to boost foreign tourists, particularly Malaysia, Singapore, and several Middle Eastern countries visiting Riau. This event is expected to boost tourism arrival target of 70,000 people set by the government of Riau Province. In addition, the implementation of Tour de Siak is expected can bring positive impact on the regional development. Tour de Siak 2016 is followed by dozens of teams from domestic and abroad, including Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, Vietnam, and Taiwan. Listener, at the opening ceremony, 2,000 people played the kompang, a traditional Malay percussion instrument, to enliven the opening of the Tour de Siak and simultaneously welcome the participants. At this year's Tour de Siak, the participants compete their agility in four stages. Stage 1, Siak Simpang Dayun, along 154.15 kilometers. Stage 2, Siak Apit River of 115.45 kilometers. And at this stage, the cyclists passing through the smooth asphalt crossing the Teluk Masjid Bridge.
on the Siak River, which is crossed by large ships. The stage 3, Siak Prawang, along 182.12 kilometers, also provide a tremendous challenge and winding roads. However, the participants are presented with views of oil palm plantations along the road to cross the Marandan High Bridge, while stage 4 is the Siak City Race, along 110 kilometers. This stage is located in the heart of Siak Regency. Well, listener, that was Miss Selene for today with a topic about the Tour de Singkarak 2016. See you again in other topics. Sampai jumpa. Bye for now.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will present you to an Indonesian pop singer, Jamal Mirdad. Listener, mostly Indonesian pop singers who ever reach peak of popularity turn their career, like Jamal Mirdad, who ever popular with the songs composed by Arianto in 80s. Now he is member of parliament from the Democratic Party. He left his singing and stage career due to his stance as the people's representatives. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Hati Selembut Salju by Jamal Mirdad. Happy listening.
Kau cewakan hati ini. Biar terbang ke kanan setahun sekali, menemui cintanya lagi. Memang kuharapkan dan selalu kuimpikan kau datang dengan cinta.
The song that we've just listened successfully catapulted the popularity of Jamal Mirdad in Indonesian pop music world. His singing career is very different from other singers. Only with passion and a strong will supported by vocal talent, he successfully penetrated the Indonesian pop music industry at that time. A famous musician and composer, Arianto, who know the ability of Jamal Mirdad's vocal character, composed a song that matches with the color and vocal character of Jamal Mirdad. He gained a good luck. The song was accepted in the market and eventually brought Jamal Mirdad managed to put his popularity level with other singers in the country. But his golden era left him behind. Jamal tried to turn to the business. Finally, he managed to come to the Parliament building as a member of Indonesian Parliament. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Hati Lebur Jadi Debu by Jamal Mirdad.
Titik-titik noda tertinggal di dalam dada, guratan hatiku masih ada. Tergores ingatan, pahit ku rasakan, hari ini hati masih luka. Jadi debu. Mungkinkan ku datang
seberani agar dapat lupakan dirimu. Namun apa daya, aku manusia gagal menghapus kenangan lama.
The song Hati Lebur Jadi Debu included the song that catapulted Mirdad's popularity and often played on the private radios in the country, but it did not long last, though the song's lyrics mostly tell about grief feeling and a sense of deep love. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Hati Seorang Kawan Baru by Jamal Mirdad. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Bukan aku membucinmu, engkaulah satu antara seribu. Bukan aku merayumu, engkaulah satu pilihan jiwaku. Darah manis kawan baru ku ucapkan setulus hatiku. Percayalah kepadaku, ku bawa mimpi karena rasa rindu. Aku menanti sampai kini, dari hari ke hari kepadaku, kau menganggapku hanya kawan baru. Engkau satu penghiburku, ku panjangkan harapan cinta padamu. Terimalah hati ini yang darah manis ayu, berikanlah cintamu. Wajah lembut nan menawan, menyiram dini luka di hatiku. Dua tanganku memohon, sirami pula bunga dalam dada. Ku menanti sampai kini, dari hari engkau menjadi milikku.
Voice of Indonesia. Let's make the world green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Takkan pernah ada damai bersenandung. bagai pelengkap sempurnanya sandiwara. Berawal dari manisnya kasih sayang, terlanjur kita hanya dan terbuai.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Sucikah mereka yang datang? kadang dia menangis di dalam senyuman. Oh, oh, apa yang terjadi, terjadilah. Yang dia tahu Tuhan penyayang umatnya. Oh, oh, apa yang terjadi, terjadilah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.